Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. O risen Lord Jesus Christ, would you open us to the power of your resurrection as we hear it proclaimed anew this day, that we too might rise to new life in you. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the NIV. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. So it was that on this day, a little over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ paved the way for a body of people who would come to know God in a way that had never before been experienced. He achieved this not as a leader with a charismatic personality, not from behind the tombstone as a martyr of a cause, but by his substitutionary death on the cross, ratified by God the Father through his glorious resurrection. From the moment of his resurrection, all who would believe were made part of this body. It would be a body that would be properly established 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, what we know as the Church. So let's talk about the resurrection and think about how it fits together for the first audience, the Jewish community, for whom the Gospel of Matthew was originally written. The author provided numerous references showing fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and scripture to make the case for Jesus the Messiah, while taking those who believed on a new path of faith, as it were. First, Jesus was raised to life on the third day after his death. This happened according to his word. It happened in accordance with a pattern of the story of Jonah, with reference to him coming forth from the belly of a fish on the third day. This is how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So, after being in the grave for about 36 to 38 hours, long enough so that we would be certain he was in fact dead, but not so long that his body would decay, in accordance with Psalm 16 verse 9 to 10, which says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Jesus rose on the third day, as he had predicted, by a full demonstration of the power of God, showing that his was a kingdom rule and reign that knew no bounds. Death itself could not stop Jesus. It had to give way to God the Son. For us, death is the ultimate and final enemy which, while it was defeated through the resurrection, its effects are still being felt. This aspect is one of those already but not yet parts of our faith. In the meanwhile, death is not a punishment that brings hopeless finality. Instead, it is a doorway into God's presence. Jesus also rose from the dead to demonstrate that everything he had spoken of regarding who he was, why he had come, the promise of salvation, along with every other thing he ever said regarding how we ought to live in this world, everything was reliable and something we could hold on to. This means that we can live with the assurance that our sins are truly forgiven. We can know that salvation is real, that eternal life is certain. Yet these things remain matters of faith. We receive the record of events by faith and walk in the promises of God by faith. Secondly, that Jesus rose from the dead after the Jewish Passover Sabbath was significant. It communicated something new to those early believers and to us. All that Sabbath day he lay in the grave. Why? To signify the abolishing of the ceremonial law, the Jewish feasts, and every other aspect of Judaism pertaining to the Old Covenant, and that his people must be dead to such observances and take no more notice of them than he did when he lay in the grave. Jesus, on that Good Friday, the sixth day of the Jewish week, completed his redemptive work in totality when on the cross he cried, "It is finished." And then on the seventh day he rested from his work in the grave. And it was on the first day of the next week, our Sunday, that Jesus rose from the dead, assuring all who would believe of forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. And so Jesus calls us to a new life that is ours through faith in his atoning death on the cross, where he bore in his own body the sin and punishment due to us. Therefore, ours is a new life that is free from the bondage and penalty of sin. Ours is a new life that is free from Old Testament observances which did not bring people closer to God. Rather, they served to impress upon people the great distance between God and them. The church is therefore able to live in the knowledge that, through Christ alone, we live simply by grace and faith alone, guided by Scripture alone. The resurrection reminds us that God's favor is never earned. It is freely bestowed by the one who cares for us and loves us in a way that we will never completely comprehend. As we draw to a close then, just as God on the first day of the very first week in Genesis, in the beginning, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, on the day of Jesus' resurrection, the first day of the new week, Jesus, who declared himself to be the light of the world in John 8 verse 12, shone out of the darkness of the grave in great power and indescribable glory. Such was and continues to be the power of the resurrection. God continues to make all things new, especially in the lives of those who will trust him with their sins, with their past, with their present, and with their future, who believe and have experienced that he does indeed make of us new creatures through his own Son, Jesus. I want to also say a few words about the two Marys, who had approached the tomb of Jesus on that glorious day. We are told that an earthquake ensued, followed by the appearance of an angel who rolled back the stone. The guards, being strong, brave men, fainted on the spot. That's how terrifying it was for them. We also understand that Jesus did not walk out of the tomb because he was not there. The stone was simply rolled away so that the woman could see it was, in fact, empty. From there, they would run to tell the disciples the good news. En route, they encounter the risen Lord Jesus, who cries out, "Greetings," which is the Hebrew equivalent of "Peace be unto you," at which they fall down and cling to the feet of Jesus in worship, and finally are told again to tell the others that they will all shortly meet in Galilee. What we see in this encounter is that Jesus is not slow to come to his disciples, which included these women, and meet them in their confusion and fear, in order to calm their hearts and gently assure them that all will soon be well, that he would steer them through their present difficulties and into the future. This is done so that they would come to know his resurrection life, to live in this world as his instruments. This comfort and assurance is ours as well, being empowered by the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, so that the church might be an effective instrument in God's hands. But to be an instrument in God's hands is not an occasional endeavor with electives to choose from. Paul discovered that resurrection life as a follower of Jesus Christ was only fully understood when he embraced and identified with every aspect of the life and ministry of Jesus. This meant being prepared to struggle and suffer for the sake of Jesus. And so he was able to say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." Suffering will come in various forms, no doubt, but in God's hands it is all directed by God's resurrection power to the shaping of God's people into instruments that can better carry the good news of the cross of Christ. Our usefulness comes not simply from basking in the power of the resurrection, but from allowing that same power that raised Christ from the dead to shape us as we allow him to take us and use us according to his plans. You see, a celebration of the resurrection is more than simply to rejoice that Jesus is risen from the dead. It is about responding to it. It is to live fully in the forgiveness, the assurance of salvation, and the promise of life everlasting. It is to be free from the uncertainty of the here and now. It means to allow the new life we have been born again into to move us to serve God and our world. And so may God help us to do so. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you conquered death and opened the gates of life everlasting. In the power of the Holy Spirit, please would you raise us with Christ, that by our lives we too may proclaim the good news to those around us. We ask it in his name. Amen. And God bless you.